This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Aim. It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Nice series win against the Reds. It's the Pirates. It starts tonight. And, Grant, I was talking about Ozzy as we went to break there. And, look, somebody just hit me up. What's wrong with Ozzy? Nothing. Nothing is wrong. But it doesn't feel like he's doing the Ozzy things that we've become accustomed to. Last night, you know, you look at the numbers, you get 4 at-bats, 2 runs. He draws a huge walk. Mm-hmm. But what am I missing, Grant, when I'm watching Ozzy? And why are Mike and I looking at each other and going, what's missing? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, what's missing is the power, right? The consistency, the run production, the things that really made Ozzy a standout second baseman. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I and a whole lot of other people were getting upset that Major League Baseball would put out that list of top 10 second basemen and somehow Ozzy Albies would get left off. I mean, even Chipper Jones was up in arms about that. But, you know, this is not a social media campaign that's going to get the guy back on track. It's going to be good adjustments that he needs to make. And I feel like for Ozzy and things like that walk, I know it's small. I know it maybe is kind of isolated, insular thing. But that to me makes me feel like, all right, maybe he's seeing the zone a little bit differently, a little bit better. And that I feel like has kind of been part of it at least. And then the other real deal for him, and I know we talked about this, so I don't want to keep rehashing it over and over, but he's just not catching the ball where he wants to get not just the lift, but also being able to drive the ball, because he's not, as I've said before, a Statcast darling. He's not Matt Olson. He's not Austin Riley or Ronald Acuna Jr. for that matter, where you pull up that page and you're like, wow, this is one of the hardest hitters in the league in terms of just overall exit velocity and all the things you want to see. But he still finds success because of just the placement, really, I think. So everybody can be different. Everybody's got their own skills. But to make a long story short, I just feel like it hasn't all been put together yet, but it can be. I don't think this guy has lost, you know, his ability to be an impact player, but he's been injured a lot. He's missed a lot of time. Obviously, he's had to overcome some things, and it's the constant game of adjustment. So maybe he's finally starting to find things with relation to the strike zone and his approach that might lead to some results that everybody, including Ozzy Albies, is looking for.
And it wasn't like the ugliest thing. The ugliest thing last night was Arcia's bunt attempt. That was just god-awful. But we'll just leave it there, Grant. But the things that did work well, I loved it. I mean, Olson has been struggling at times with the bat, but that was kind of like a Keith Hernandez-type play when he charges home plate, picks up the bunt, gets the throw out at third. And then how about we'll talk about some other great stuff, what Drake Baldwin did, throwing the guy out at second, same inning.
Yeah, big stuff there from Drake Baldwin and Matt Olson, defensively speaking. I would also throw Scott Blewett in as a huge reason why the Braves didn't blow it and had the innings that they needed covered to give themselves a chance to win. That's two huge innings out of the bullpen, but the Olson play was key. The Baldwin play was also key. And with Matt Olson, I know a lot of folks the first year maybe were like, Gold Glover, I don't see it. You know, maybe he's not as good as the previous guy. And maybe we can stop having that discussion. I don't know, because that guy's gone, this guy's here, and this guy's pretty good, I guess is my point. And it's plays like that that remind you, because he does, I feel like, have very good instincts. And I think Matt Olson has one of the best throwing arms at first base to make those plays at second base, at third base, whatever the case is, coming home. I mean, he's a guy that can put it on you, and I feel like he has done that at times in places where if there was an out you could steal, as the old phrase went, really, when you talked about Andrelton Simmons, he's finding ways to do it, and that was a heady, instinctual baseball play. And as it happened, it was against a pretty good base runner as well.
I want to talk about Johnson. Pierce Johnson, 25 straight batters he retired in his last eight appearances. That's 8 1/3 innings out of the bullpen, 9 strikeouts. In his role, he's been fantastic, Grant. And I didn't think I'd be saying that at this point in the season. He's been really good at what they're and Snit is asking him to do right now.
Yeah, and he's needed to be. And I felt like coming into the year, maybe he was going to be the one that got the responsibility of stepping into the Joe Jimenez role of being kind of the primary setup guy, at least one of them. And he kind of hasn't been. But that doesn't mean that he hasn't had important outs to get and that he hasn't been great in doing so. So by my math, 25 consecutive batters set down means 2 more, and he's got himself a perfect game. That is spread out over, 8, 9 appearances, whatever it may end up being. But is nonetheless impressive because he's facing a different lineup every time. He's coming in leverage situations, and he's delivering. So you needed these guys to do this, whether it's Daisbell Hernandez, Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee. I know everybody wants to see Iglesias get on track and stay on track. It was not a fun thing to watch last night as that game kind of seemed to get away from him there. But you've got some pieces, I feel like, that can make this bullpen capable of holding games where they are and giving the lineup a chance to rally and to win. And Pierce Johnson has definitely been in the middle of that lately.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, whose Braves beat the Reds last night 5-4, and now on to Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that series in a second. The only thing, you mentioned Iglesias, so yeah, there's an article in ESPN today saying that there's a lot of pitchers right now, relief pitchers and closers that are struggling. And nobody's really killing it. The one argument I got into with a couple of guys online last night, Grant, tell me if I'm getting off on the weeds on this one. It's the old John Smoltz argument. Let the guys trying to figure it out. Were you cool with letting Schwellenbach leave after the 6th with a pitch count at 93? I figured it was cool to let him at least try to pitch to the 6, 7, 8 hitters. Unfortunately, Montero, who had been really good, just wasn't effective last night.
Yeah, I think the latter is probably the thing that you look at. And, you know, that's unfortunate that, you know, the first guy that you bring in is not as sharp or as good as your starting pitcher. But, you know, in baseball these days, I feel like one of the things that I, you know, kind of have to remind myself sometimes is that the more relief pitchers you use, the more you open yourself up to the possibility that one of these guys doesn't have it tonight. That's just the math. That's the numbers. That's the way the game is, but it's not going to change. The complete game is a dying breed. Guys that are able to do that, they're not allowed to anymore. So you just, I feel like, don't push starters as far. But from a confidence-building perspective, and I know that we're not in the moral victories game. We're in the winning games, you know, situation here for the Braves as a team, as a collective. I felt like at 93 pitches with what he had done over that 6 innings, considering how things had been trending lately, maybe just going ahead and pulling it there, because he's never thrown 100 pitches at any point in a start thus far. That's something else I think maybe to keep in mind is that, was he going to be able to get through 3 more hitters in 6 pitches? No, let's go ahead, give that guy, next guy in, a clean inning and just kind of go from there. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out, but I was incredibly, incredibly impressed with what Spencer Schwellenbach was able to do, and some inside baseball, some from the diamond coming your way on Sunday night here on 92.9 The Game. I've got my buddy Eno Saris, who gets really into all of the intricacies of how the strike zone is being called this year, which, spoiler alert, it's a little bit smaller than it's ever been. We're going to talk about that on the show. But Spencer Schwellenbach is one of the most squeezed pitchers in baseball, squeezed starting pitchers, meaning that he is not getting calls inside the zone that a lot of other guys are getting as a result of this and the way that he pitches. So to kind of bring it to a head, I was really impressed with what Schwellenbach was able to do and encouraged by that. And I feel like it was part of what helped the Braves win the game, but also kind of a moral victory to feel like, all right, a nice clean outing. Let's just leave it at that.
All right, so the Pirates fire their manager, Derek Shelton, during their day off, by the way. How you get fired
on
your
day off?
So they are in the wake of a season-high seven-game losing streak. They are 12-26. Braves fans, don't count these dubs. Sometimes these things give a team an emotional lift. Look, Grant, I think they're better than what their record says. They're not the Colorado Rockies, but they promoted their bench coach. His name's Don Kelly, the manager. Tell me what you're expecting this weekend with the Pirates.
Yeah, and with the Pirates, I mean, this is kind of a sad story that we've talked about over the years. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's a historic franchise, but it's an ownership group that, you know, if they want to say that firing Derek Shelton is the thing that's going to, I don't know, send a different message to the team, I would beg to differ. I feel like they've sent a pretty significantly what would I call it? A message that is hard to miss with the fact that they're just not very committed to putting a lot into the big league club at times. And I'll just leave it at that. So I felt like Shelton was just a sacrificial lamb for, you know, failings that go far beyond the manager. He can only work with what he's got. And while he does have a couple of nice shiny toys, none probably shinier than Paul Skeens, you're going to have more than that to win baseball games at the big league level. And there's been some underperformance. So could they get a bump from this, I guess, is the question. Sure, they could. And you never should go into a series assuming, all right, we're going to sweep them, because we've seen what happens with the A's a couple of years ago, with the White Sox last year, with the Rockies already this year. It's not a guarantee that you're going to sweep a club, but you could certainly use it. And if they go out there and play the way that they have been lately, I feel like the Braves are clearly the club that could get that done. But, yeah, you never count these things before they're in the win column, as the case may be. And I don't think the Braves have been a team that has done too much of that, expecting outcomes before they actually go do the work.
Yeah, it's what, 26 in payroll are the Pirates. We always joke around with you, Grant, that, you know, today's Pirates are tomorrow's Yankees. Hey, one story outside of the Braves. This Rafael Devers story up in Boston is pretty darn hysterical. For those who don't know, he's making $300 million. They bring in Bregman, who's obviously one of the best third basemen in the league, Alex Bregman. And then the first baseman gets hurt, and they said, hey, can you play first base? He's like, no, you go find one. Because it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Phillies have a similar situation and they moved like one of their stars over to first base?
Yeah, some guy named Bryce Harper moved over to first base voluntarily. But let me say this, and I'm going to talk about this a lot on From the Diamond as well, not to turn this into a preview show for that. But
that's all right. Go ahead.
When I look at the Rafael Devers situation, I do think that there was an element of this, from what I'm gathering, that was lost in translation between what he's saying, the spirit of what he's saying, and the interpreter trying to take all of these thoughts and all the emotions and deliver them properly and not get lost. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'll start a sentence sometimes and I don't even know where I'm going to end up. And I'm not Michael Scott, but be that as it may, it's a very, you know, fine line that these guys are walking sometimes. But I'll say this, not in just defense of Devers, because statistically speaking, the worst defensive third baseman in baseball over the past 5 years. That's irrefutable. Those are the numbers. That's why they signed Alex Bregman. They came to him and said, look, we don't want you in the field anymore. You're going to be a DH. And now, 5-6 weeks into the season, we want you to learn a new position at the big league level. And I feel like that you're not familiar with, that you haven't played. Have other guys done it? Yes. Could Devers have owned the situation and changed the narrative? Yes. But at this point, there's kind of an impasse, because I guess Alex Cora didn't want to have the conversation. He had Craig Breslow do it. So is there this good cop, bad cop thing going on? Okay. The whole thing is just, it's a big convoluted mess.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I think we could still see Devers play first base, but the way they went about managing him all the way back to the spring kind of led them to this place they find themselves now.
All right, Grant. Great stuff, man. Again, what time you on?
I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 right here on 92.9 The Game. It's from the Diamond, wherever you get your podcast, and on the Odyssey app.
I was just thinking, Grant, of like Moneyball, when they go to Scott Hattieburg's house. You know, he's the guy that plays Ron Washington, former Braves coach. Remember, they go... It's easy to play first base. It's incredibly difficult to play first
base. Tell
them
why.
Yeah, that's right. All right, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you Monday, brother.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it. You enjoy the weekend as well.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.